Christians are called upon to be a moral and spiritual disinfectant in a world that is falling apart at the seams.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The Beatitudes are those elements of teaching which introduce this tremendous fifth chapter of Matthew. Most of us are acquainted, at least in word, if not in some detail, with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes reflect really the essence of the Christian way of life, the essential characteristics of a true disciple. The Beatitudes are perhaps the distillation of Jesus' teaching on discipleship, what it means to be a disciple. If you would wish to know what it means to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a constituent of God's kingdom and exhibit the characteristics of the constituents of God's kingdom, perhaps one of the most concise statements of that concept would be the Beatitudes. But in verse 13, which immediately follows the Beatitudes, in his appeal to salt, and really if we had time, light, in verse 14. In verse 13, in his appeal to salt, Jesus now turns to our influence for good in the world. It's appropriate that it follows the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus describes our character. And in this verse, in verse 14, he describes our conduct. He shows us in these verses, as we try to analyze them, what our character will mean in everyday life. If we have no character, if we are not deepening our relationship with the Lord in the biblical sense of that term and that concept, if we have no character, we will have no meaningful conduct. We will have no meaningful witness. You would think, as you study the Beatitudes, that the kind of people that are described there would have very little influence in the world in which they live. The poor in spirit, the pure in heart, the persecuted, the mourning, the meek, the merciful, you would think that they would be too feeble and too few to effect any kind of positive result in the world in which they live. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth does not share our skepticism. Jesus knows the power of godly character in everyday life. He knows that if a man is what he ought to be, the work will achieve what it ought to achieve. We have a way of focusing on doing. Jesus has a way of focusing on being. Jesus is not impressed by our much activity. He is impressed by the nature of our identity. He does not want to know what are our talents. He wants to know, do you have character? Are you becoming like Jesus? Are you becoming like Christ? And if you are, you will achieve what he intends for you to achieve. We have a way of focusing upon the work. God has a way of focusing upon the workman. God knows that if the workman is what he ought to be, the work will achieve what it ought to achieve. When we focus on doing, we have a tendency to become proud or prideful, because we focus on our talents and our abilities and the things we do. When we focus on our doing, we have a tendency to become proud. When we focus on our being, we have a tendency to become humble, because we see that we're not nearly as much like Christ as we ought to be. So Jesus does not share our skepticism. He knows that a man that is poor in spirit, he knows that a man that knows what it means to mourn over his own sins and the sins of others, he knows that a man who is meek and merciful, that is pure and persecuted, has tremendous influence in everyday life. He says to you and I as Christians, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. You are salt in the midst of a decaying world. You are light in the midst of a darkening world. Every one of us as God's people should have a hunger and a thirst to fulfill our calling as salt. And to do that, we need to come to understand it. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? I want you to notice with me two basic insights regarding our calling as the salt of the earth. Now, the first thing that I want to look at very briefly here, or very concisely, I hope I can do it briefly, is a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. We are characterized as salt. What does that mean? Ye are the salt of the earth. And if I have time, I want to talk about a catastrophe that Jesus hints at in this verse. But if the salt have lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And I wonder how many Christians have lost their true identity as the salt of the earth and are thereafter good for nothing and are trodden underfoot by the men of this world who no longer take their witness and their testimony seriously. First, a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? To me, that answers two very important questions. The first question is this: what does that teach us about the world? That simple statement, ye are the salt of the earth, teaches us something very significant about the world in which we live. It is a world that is filled with rottenness and pollution. It is a world that is offensive and foul. It's sad to say, but it's true. It is a world that needs an antiseptic, and our world is like that. It is the kind of world that needs salt. It needs an antiseptic, and you Christians are that antiseptic. And before you can be rubbed into the secular world around you and achieve the goals that God intended for you to achieve, you need to understand your world. But it teaches us something else. What does that teach us about the Christian? You are the salt of the earth. Do you know, in my mind, that teaches us two things about a Christian. You may want to jot them down. We learn two things about a Christian when we read that phrase, you are the salt of the earth. One, we learn about the Christian's primacy. He is a very primary being on this globe. He is a very important individual, a very valuable ingredient in the world. We learn something about the Christian's primacy when we study the value of salt in the ancient world. And then we learn something else. We learn something about the Christian's potency. Salt is a very potent ingredient and a very precious commodity. And it has a multifaceted function. And when you study that function, you gain a little insight into what it means to be the salt of the earth. In fact, may I just give you quickly as I can, five functions of salt, which give an insight into what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, salt is an additive. It lends flavor to things. It takes otherwise tasteless and listless food and seasons it. It quickens the taste. Do you know that's what a Christian is to do to life? What salt is to food, a Christian is to be to life in general. He's to lend flavor. He's to quicken its taste. He's to demonstrate that there is a meaningful way of life apart from the pleasure mania of our world. A Christian is to be an additive. He's to lend flavor. He's to season life. Salt is not only an additive, it is a curative, and that's what a Christian is to be. Salt was used in the ancient world as a curative, being applied to wounds, for example, to eliminate infections and to initiate healing. And then there's a third function of salt, which gives an insight in what it means to be a Christian disciple. Salt was an additive, lending flavor to life. It was a curative, initiating healing and prohibiting an infection. And then it was a preservative, often used to preserve meats and to arrest decay. You say, well, where does this putrefaction and corruption come from? Do you know that wherever there is death, there is decay? And we live out our lives in the midst of a decaying world, in the midst of a dying world. Evidences of moral decomposition are omnipresent. They're everywhere present. So what does God call upon us to do, Christians? Are called upon to be a moral and spiritual disinfectant in a world that is falling apart at the seams. Do you get the message? Listen to me now. Christians are to do this, not political action groups. Christians, ecumenical conglomerates that bring apostate priests and preachers and Mormon elders and Jewish rabbis all together, are not the salt of the earth. Christians are the salt of the earth. They are the moral disinfectant. And they are a disinfectant, one, by their disciplined example, and two, by their dedicated witness, and both are absolutely essential. One, you must be a disciplined example of Christian living. Two, you must be a verbal witness for Christ, because there is no moral reclamation, no reclaiming of a man or a society morally. There is no moral reclamation without spiritual regeneration. Before a man will be transformed morally, he must be born again spiritually. He must be saved. It will do us no good through legislation and political action groups to make Pharisees out of publicans. We must bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian's to do. He's a moral and a spiritual disinfectant in the world in which he lives, a preservative. And then here's another word. Salt is a thirstative. Now, I'm not sure that's a word. I may have coined it. I think Paul coined a few words in the New Testament, and I'm going to take the liberty. A thirstative. That means that salt never satisfies a man's thirst. It never quenches a man's thirst. It only creates a man's thirst. And there's a sense in which the Christian is to do that. No Christian can quench a man's thirst, but he can by his way of living. He can by his dynamic lifestyle. If he knows Christ as Lord and Savior, and he's living like it in the world in which he lives, he can create a thirst for Christ. Men can see in us what they are seeking for themselves, and we cannot quench that thirst that they have, but we can point them to the one who can. Over all the cisterns of this world can be written these words: whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But over that body of water, which our Lord Jesus invites us to drink of, can be written these words: whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. His deepest, most insatiable hungers, needs, and thirsts will be met in Christ. And it is the Christian, the disciple of Christ, the man who takes seriously the mandate to live like Christ in his world every day of his life, that creates that thirst in the lost man and brings him to Jesus. Saul is a thirstative. And then it is a distinctive. You say, well, now, what do you mean by that? I mean, it is different. It is distinct. The most obvious general characteristic of Saul is that it is essentially different from the substance into which it is placed. In fact, it is that difference which gives it pungency, which gives it power. Do you know that the word for holiness in the Bible, hagias, means fundamentally and essentially different? Do you know what it means to be holy? Fundamentally, it means to be different. It means to be sacred in a secular culture. It means to be godly in a godless culture. It means to be moral in the midst of immorality. It means to be different.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.